Allow me to read the words of God. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Amen. In the dictionary, a city is defined as the place occupied by many people and is the center of politics, economy, and culture of a particular area. Indeed, about 16.7% of the entire land area of South Korea consists of cities. 60 years before now, less than 40% of the entire population that lived in the 1960s lived in cities. But as industrial development took off, people started to migrate to cities. So by 1970, more than 50% of the population lived in cities, and by 1990s, the proportion of the urban population was 80%. And in 2005, about 90% of the population lived in cities, and now roughly 91.8% of South Koreans live in cities. Approximately 46 million out of 50 million people live in cities of South Korea. Professor Edward Glaser of the Economics Department at Harvard University wrote a book titled The Triumph of the City, which is subtitled How Our Greatest Invention Makes Us Richer, Smarter, Greener, Healthier, and Happier. The author argues that cities are not only the best invention of humanity, but praises cities for providing diverse opportunities and protecting the environment. Professor Glaser analyzes that as the proportion of the urban population of a country increases by 10%, that country's per capita GDP increases by 30%. So for more people to become wealthier, they need to live in cities. Meanwhile, in countries where about the half of the population lives in cities, about 30% of the population report that they are happy, and only 17% reply that they are very unhappy or not at all happy. On the other hand, in countries where more than half of the population lives in rural areas, about 25% of the population report that they are very happy, while 22% respond that they are miserable. So regardless of which country we look at, life satisfaction is higher if the proportion of the urban population is higher. Moreover, Professor Glaser asserts that large cities are environmentally friendly because per capita carbon footprint is smaller. While 86% of Americans commute to work by cars, only one-third of New Yorkers commute to work by cars. So New York, among all metropolitan areas in the U.S., has the lowest gasoline consumption level per person. And in densely populated areas, such as New York City, many people live in high-rise buildings, so energy can be managed efficiently, and well-developed public transportation allows people to be mobile without driving. However, in suburban homes, people need to use their own heating and cooling systems, along with automobiles to get around, which results in efficient energy use and higher per capita carbon emissions compared to people living in urban areas. Consequently, as China and India become wealthier, more people are migrating to cities. He argues that the government should not encourage people to buy homes in suburban areas and commute to work. And instead, city governments should encourage high-rise buildings to be constructed and make cities more vibrant so that there are more opportunities. Such city planning will lead to environmentally friendly cities. Although Professor Glaser asserts that per capita gasoline consumption and carbon dioxide emission levels are lower in New York, he does not mention the total level of consumption and emission levels. According to a newspaper article I read before, the yearly electricity consumption of a big shopping mall, COEX in Gangnam area, is similar to that of Jinan province of Jeollabuk-do. Since New York is not only the most populated city in the U.S., but also one of the most populated cities in the world, how much total energy levels will be needed to support the commercial, financial, media, arts, education, and entertainment activities that occur in the world's cultural capital? The author also emphasizes that cities not only are the winners at the end, but also makes humanity wealthier, smarter, more environmental friendly, healthier, and happier. Consequently, cities should build high-rise buildings and allow more people to live there. But there was a point that turned me off while reading the book. While the author had lived in cities for a long time, he himself had moved to a less dense area in the suburbs and commuted by his car because cities are popular among young people. But now he had become a middle-aged man, and at the time this book was published, he was in his 40s and had 3 children. Which is not that old at all. Where he lived actually had a pretty good educational system, and he didn't have to commute too long to go to work. He also liked that there were more beetles than people. Cities may seem like they are the winners, but cities will not be winners for eternity. The rise and fall of cities of the impermanent world is under God's providence. Only cities that belong to God will be eternal. Cities in the Bible refer to places surrounded by a fortress. So the New Testament calls them cities, and the Old Testament calls them fortresses. The old name of the South Korean capital was Hanyang. The range of Hanyang in Joseon Dynasty was the northern part of Han River and the southern area of Bukhan Mountain. A palace was built within a fortress built along the mountain range of Bukhan Mountain, connecting the Bukhan Mountain in the north, Inhwang Mountain of the west, Namsan Mountain of south, and Naksan Mountain of the east. Then areas within 4 kilometer radius from each gate at the north, south, east, and west of the capital were considered Hanyang. So while Gangnam is the wealthiest and the most pronounced area in Seoul, it was not even included in Hanyang in Joseon Dynasty, since it was located in the south of the Han River. In the Bible, Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, is the first person who constructed a city. Genesis chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 testifies, "So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch." Cain became humanity's first murderer for killing his younger brother because God did not accept his sacrifice, while God accepted that of Abel, his brother. So Cain was punished and banished, but God left a mark on Cain so that he would not kill anymore, nor would Cain be killed by others. And in the land of Nod, located in the east of Eden, he had a son and named him Enoch, and also built a city and named it after his son. Enoch has the same as Enoch, who also did not die. But they are two different people. Cain built a city because he wanted to protect himself from other people. The fifth descendant of Cain is Lamech, who was the first person in the Bible to have two wives for the first time. One wife, Ada, gave birth to two sons, Jabal and Jubal. Jabal became the ancestor of those who raised livestock, and Jubal became the ancestor of those who play stringed instruments and pipes. The other wife, Zillah, had a son, Tubal-Cain, who created all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. And Lamech killed any young people who harmed him. He yelled, "If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. In the city Cain created, livestock agriculture began, arts began, and metal construction began. Because in cities, many different types of infrastructure are available, along with economic activities, it is a place where louder voices are made even more conspicuous. So instead of true repentance to occur after committing a murder, a person just continues to shout. The gravest biblical representation of city's features is available in Genesis chapter 11. Verses 4 to 9 testifies, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. After constructing a city, people not only built a tower to reach the heavens to make a name for themselves, but they promised to no longer scatter all over the place in the earth. The first condition of a person that has left God is to consider himself as the master of his life. So they think that they can polish their lives through their own strength. God confused their language so that they could not understand each other. So as people constructed the city and the tower, if one asked, "Do you have water?" Other would respond, "I'm going to eat lunch." If another asked, "Hammer in that nail, please," a person next to him would reply, "Let's go home." People built the city and the tower to make a name for themselves, but instead, they were unable to communicate and scattered all over the place. Our daily lives may be the same. It is difficult to have a conversation with a person who wants to make his name known and a person who is defensive. He does not try to listen to the other person and only talks about what is on his mind. So it is difficult to be with those people, and you don't want to be around them either. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 testifies about people's unwarranted expectations about cities. The rule that you reap what you sow literally applies in farming or fishing areas. People have some parcels of land and farm along with some livestock. In fishing villages, there are also different sizes of ships, timed to work based on high and low tides, and the range of fish and aquatic species that can be caught. So unless a natural disaster, one living in rural areas can expect how much to harvest. But it is not like so in a city. Depending on what an entrepreneur buys and sells, the result can be entirely different. Moreover, there are also much more options for work compared to those in a farm or a fishing village. Consequently, it is easier to have hollow dreams in cities. Today's scripture is based on a parable told to disciples about what happened in a city. The meaning of today's scripture will be explored further in the next week's sermon. Verse 2 testifies about who lived in the city. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. The judge of this certain town did not fear God and disregarded what people thought. A city that does not fear God nor respect people are the main features of a worldly city. So a city is a place where things that are seen are regarded like God, and worldly values are prevalent. So instead of considering one person's character, how much I can benefit from my relationship with that person is considered far more important." On the 17th of this month, the government announced a plan to stabilize the real estate market. This announcement is already the 21st plan on the real estate market, which indicates that the past 20 announcements were imperfect. And after it was announced, there were many news articles reporting that prices of real estate that were not included in the relevant target areas and speculation-prone zones have risen. Consequently, some say that the government is considering another plan for remediation, even though only a few days have passed since the last announcement. The same situation has different aftermath on each person. Some complain that they face even more restrictions, while others complain that they cannot receive more benefits. How many more real estate announcements would be needed to have a perfect system for real estate? Would it require 21 more announcements as we have had? Or after 10 times more with 210 iterations, would the system be perfect? As long as a sinful person continues to harbor a divided heart to worship both God and wealth, it will be impossible to have a perfect plan under such secular values. Only when one has a totally opposite attitude from that of the judge in today's scripture, then he can be made whole. In other words, it is only possible when one fears God and respects people. As long as we consider the real estate as a method of speculation and not a place of residence, then no matter how many policies we come up with, it will not be resolved. If the price of where you live increases due to external factors, such as an opening of a subway station, even though you have not put in any effort, then you need to have a heart to share it with your neighbors and society. That is the proper attitude of a Christian who trusts God to be his strength. Verse 3 testifies as follows. "And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' Along with orphans, widows appear in the Bible as a representative figure for the poor and the weak. A widow cannot have any more children since her husband has passed away, so she was frequently ignored since the Jewish society revolved around men who had absolute authority and power, and so widows were the weakest people. So a widow that had no one to rely on sought out a judge and pleaded him to grant her justice against her adversary. The Bible does not explain what her adversary was. The Bible does not reveal whether she was ripped off her money, wrongfully accused, or received an unjust verdict, leaving her destitute. But the judge did not fear God nor respect people, so her plea was mere waves in the air. This judge was entirely full of the values of the city without God. He thought a case for the widow was unbeneficial for him, so he ignored it entirely. But Jesus concluded the parable in verse 8 by saying, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus started the parable by referring to a certain city, but ended with "on the earth." He's saying that the story of the city is about the story of the world. In the past 5 weeks, through the scriptures in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 37, we have shared about the kingdom of God in the current times and the kingdom of God in the future, the day of the Son of Man. We have learned about how people in the time of Noah and Lot were totally absorbed in daily lives, eating, drinking, buying, selling, marrying, planting, and building houses, and paid no attention to God and the kingdom of God, and they were eventually destroyed. Jesus tells us the same message today. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He is moaning that people are always living by following worldly values without God instead of living by faith. Most of us live in cities, so we are enjoying the benefits of living in them. But we are not people who live by the values of worldly cities. If we live by the values of worldly cities, then we are walking the path of people who lived in the time of Noah and Lot. Revelation chapter 18, verses 2 and 3 testifies about how this world will turn out. "With a mighty voice he shouted, 'Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries.'" At the time John the Apostle was recording the book of Revelations, Babylon the Great was at the height of Pax Romana era. No one thought that the Roman Empire would fall or disappear. Regardless, John the Apostle did not write that Babylon the Great will fall using future tense, but wrote Babylon is fallen using the past tense. Moreover, Babylon the Great had fallen because nations have drunk the maddening wine of adulteries, which refers to worshiping idols. If one worships idols, he considers wealth, power, and pleasure as God. the greatest feature of the Roman Empire were pleasure and extravagance. To enjoy such luxuries, Romans conquered other countries and placed high tax rates. Not just countries and cities, but when a person seeks pleasure and extravagance, that person's life is destroyed. Revelations chapter 21 verse 2 tells us what it is the city we Christians should hope for. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. We Christians are citizens of the New Jerusalem, the Holy City. While the world seeks out a bigger city, a wealthier city, and a fancier city, the city created by God is a holy city, one set apart. So we Christians need to desire what is holy, not what is big. The world is always full of values of the city, which most people are occupied with. So they try their best to own a little bit more than others and consider their lives to be successful if they accomplish so. And other people work from morning to evening to sit at a higher and greater position and take pride if they accomplish it. Churches sometimes also regard a bigger worship hall, more people attending, and larger amounts of offerings as a greater glory to God. It is a difficult time to find a holy life and attitude set apart in and outside the church. But God calls us as His children. Jesus sacrificed His blood of redemption on the cross, and the Holy Spirit guides us on a daily basis, not for us to become people of the city and the world, but to be people of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. May we not be afraid to live holy lives of self-denial so that we can live as citizens of the New Jerusalem. As the citizens of New Jerusalem, may we share benefits and privileges to live along with marginalized people like the widow. Even if the waves of the worldly values in the city seem so high, may we look towards God who is above those waves. Through us, God will renew our homes, our society, and God who is our strength will be right next to us, building us into masterpieces as people set apart. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have lived as if the cities of the world and values of cities will be eternal, and were totally occupied and soaked in such values. We sometimes even thought that cities will last for eternity, so we gave in to the fanciness, greatness, convenience, and entertainment of the city. Forgive us for harboring values of the worldly cities and not living a life set apart as Christians. Help us to never forget that the values of the worldly cities do not fear God nor respect people. May we not forget that living by such values is same as living like the people in the time of Noah and those of Lot. And now, may we hope and live for the holy city, the New Jerusalem, so that our lives are set apart from people of the world, and we live by values set apart. As children of God, may we share benefits we can enjoy by ourselves with the weak, and share our privileges with other people. By doing so, may our society, which is full of conflicts due to all sorts of inequalities, be restored and reconciled through the touch of our mighty God. For us to faithfully live our lives, may we remember that only God is our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.